will send him to you. Jesus is saying to these disciples that he's walked with, talked with, cried with, loved on, ministered with, cast out demons with, healed the sick with. I mean, they've done life together. And he's saying, you know what, it's to your benefit that I go away. And I'm sure at first they were like, no way, that can't be a good thing, Jesus. And yet the promise that he gives is what we need to really focus on. Because he said, I'm going to send a helper, and that helper is one of the same. In that passage, he says, I'm going to send another helper. There's two different Greek words for another. One is the same, one of the same kind. The other is one of a different kind. The word there is one of the same kind. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm sending the Holy Spirit of God. The part of the Trinity, the other part of the Trinity, there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. So it's not that he's saying, you know what, you're going to really be deprived here. No, he's saying it's actually going to be to your advantage. And what he's essentially saying is, I'm going to multiply my ministry through each and every one of you by the Holy Spirit of God living and empowering your life, so that when you go to the store, when you go to the workplace, when you go home, wherever you are, you can minister in the life and the power and the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ himself. When I read the Bible, I look and I go, I'm amazed at the way people are attracted to Jesus. I'm amazed at the way people are touched by his love and his compassion. And here's the thing, he wants to do it through you, just like it was done through him. We've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've talked about there's three different categories of gifts: discerning gifts, declarative gifts, and dynamic gifts. And this morning I want to, just for a couple of minutes, finish up by talking about the dynamic gifts that are available to you and I if we're Holy Spirit-filled believers. If we're filled with the presence and the power of Jesus, then the ministry of Jesus is being multiplied through us, through the endowment of these gifts. There, the Greek word is charisma. It means grace. It means gifts of grace. These are not gifts you possess. These are gifts that God wants to distribute to you. These are not gifts for you necessarily. They're gifts for someone else that you might manifest that love, power, and compassion of Jesus to others. So let's look at them real quick and talk about them just briefly. The first is the gift of faith. Everybody say faith. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where the obstacles in front of you, the mountains before you, the valley that you found yourself in, the circumstances were just overwhelming and they were far beyond your current level of faith? Anybody ever found yourself in a situation like that? I have, and I do quite often, it seems like. I don't know what it is, but I find that the Lord loves to keep me in that place of absolute dependence upon him. I think he gets the greatest glory that way, amen? And it sure isn't about me, it's about him. And you know what? The Bible says that every one of us, we have a measure of faith. But in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he's talking about the manifestation of the Spirit's given to each one. You're in each one, by the way. You're in each one. For the profit of all, for to one is given the word of wisdom, and he goes through the other gifts we've talked about. In verse 9, he says, to another faith by the same Spirit, Holy Spirit power, faith. To another gifts of healings, plural, by the same Spirit. And to another the working of miracles. See, the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts to you as you need them. They're like a toolbox that you would carry around. And I have friends, I'm not one of these guys, regrettably. I wish I was, but I have friends who are incredibly handy. Anybody have a friend like that? Really, really handy? And it seems like whatever is going on, they have a tool readily at hand to fix it. You know what I'm talking about? Something breaks, and a lot of them even have one strapped on their side. They call it a Leatherman. And they pull that thing out, and it's got about 250 tools built into one little thing. You know, and they spring that thing open, and what do you need, a chainsaw? I got it right here. You know, I mean, it's just like, wow, I can't believe that. You know, you need a jackhammer? I got one right here. I mean, it's, I'm exaggerating a little bit, I think. But anyway, it's like they have the tool you need for the situation and the circumstance at hand. The Holy Spirit, God himself dwelling within you, has the tool you need for the situations and circumstances before you. You come before someone who's sick. You don't need at that moment the gift of interpretation of tongues. No, you know what you need at that moment? You need a gift of healing for that sick person in front of you. And listen, here's what so often unlinks or that releases those gifts is the compassion of Jesus flowing through your heart. When somebody's sick in front of you, you ever just get overwhelmed by compassion for them? You just get to a place where you're like, oh my goodness, I would so love to see that person experience the healing touch of Jesus. Believe me, that'll unlock the gift of God, a grace gift coming down from God, being distributed to you, to go through you, to meet that person's need. I'm not talking about something weird or strange. Listen, the Holy Spirit's not weird. And you know what? If you have fear about the Holy Spirit, I got to tell you, I think those fears are unfounded because he's wonderful. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. In fact, if you're a Christian here today, he's the one that brought you to Christ. Do you realize that? He's the one that helped you gently, lovingly. You know, the Bible says that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It was the Holy Spirit who kindly and lovingly drew you to Christ. He's a gentleman. He works in wonderful ways. But this gift of faith, we all have a measure of faith, but sometimes we hear bad news or we have a big challenge and suddenly, God loves suddenlies. Suddenly, you know, your measure of faith isn't up to the mountain in front of you. But suddenly something happens and it's supernatural in its manifestation. That's why it's a gift. And here's what it's like. Let me tell you what it's like. It's like you don't have enough faith to face the mountain. So God, in his love and kindness, gives you a little bit of his. He just says, you know, look at poor Jeff down there. He's really struggling. That mountain is overwhelming him. I think I'm just going to give him a little bit more faith so that he doesn't look at that mountain and go, that mountain's too big. It's too big to get over. It's too big to get around. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to lay down and die. He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want me to do that. So he says, you know what? I'm going to give him a little bit of faith. And when he looks up at that mountain again, he's going to have a whole different perspective. He's going to not look at the mountain and go, the mountain's too big. He's going to look at that mountain and go, mountain, you're nothing compared to my God. You're small. You're a molehill compared to God. You're going to be moved into the sea in Jesus' name. Let me give you some practical examples of this gift of faith. A gift of faith is a supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. I'll never forget, several years ago, we were just a young church working really hard to get rooted and grounded in this community. And we were meeting we started meeting at our house. We wore out the carpet in our house. My wife didn't really think that was too great. So we decided, and we got too big, we couldn't meet in the house anymore, so the Lord led us to an elementary school. And we were in this elementary school for several years, and we did what I call church in the box. We pulled a van up every Sunday morning, regardless of whether it was rain, sleet, snow, shine, it didn't matter. Unloaded church, it took a long time and a lot of people. Set it up, had church, and then we had the obligatory rude janitor who at the exact tick when we're supposed to be out, boy, he was ready to just throw us out if we were late in any way, shape, or form. And every Sunday we had to do that. And at some point in the journey, I just got tired. I was like, Lord, you got to give us a place. You got to give us a piece of property. You got to give us a building, something, Lord. And I'll never forget, I bet our council, we got in a van probably six different occasions, drove to different sites to look at for relocating the church. And we pray the same prayer every time. God, if this is the door you're opening, open it wide. If it's not, then shut it tight. And let me tell you, God was really faithful to answer the prayer. Because every time within 24 hours, he shut the door tight. It wasn't the answer I was looking for, believe me. Because I'd come back and go, man, we're back to the drawing board. God, you got to help us. You got to help us. And I'll never forget one day, I'm in my bathroom, door's closed. I'm sitting on the floor. It's kind of my little private prayer spot with God. It's in the rental house we had started the church in. And I'm just in there in a desperate place, seeking the Lord with all of my heart. And at some point, even sharing it with you, it's just precious to me. I hear the voice of God to my heart, oh, so clear, say these words. I'm going to give you a house this year, and I'm going to give the church a house this year. It blew me away. It was one of those moments where, quite honestly, I finished up my time with the Lord. I couldn't wait to get out of my prayer closet just to find my wife and say, guess what God spoke to me? I found Tracy. I was like, guess what he spoke to me? He said he's going to give us a house. He's going to give the church a house this year. Yeah, she's like, well, how's that going to happen? I don't know. God's just given me the faith that that's going to happen. And can I tell you, that year, Tracy and I bought our first house. The Lord provided. I mean, the Lord opened the door. And we bought this property right here. And it was an amazing situation. There's a whole other story of God's supernatural guidance and his provision and his blessing. It was absolutely a God thing. But I'm telling you, that was the gift of faith being imparted to our hearts. Can you give the Lord praise for that? This gift of faith is just the most awesome thing. Let me give you a biblical example of it, because every one of us come up against those times where we need God to give us an extra measure of faith. In 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to read it to you. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite. Everybody say Tishbite. Tishbite. What in the world's a Tishbite? Well, it's a person from the area of Tishba. This is the first time this guy Elijah shows up on the scene, by the way. Nobody's ever heard of him. Nobody knows who he is. He's been a character that has been off in the shadows, if you will. He's not well known. He's not respected. Nobody knows who he is. So he's just Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, says to Ahab. Ahab's the king over the land in that day and time. This guy comes from nowhere, from Tishba, and says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. I mean, it's the first time Elijah appears on the scene. It doesn't even say, in Elijah, the man of God. No, it doesn't say that. It says Elijah, the Tishbite. But let me tell you, God has spoken to him, and God has given him a supernatural impartation of faith, that something's going to happen that is absolutely supernatural in its manifestation, that literally there'd be no rain for 3.5 years. Wow. That's a pretty powerful proclamation to make to the king of the land. How many of you hear what I'm saying? You better know you've heard from God when you come and say, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, king. And notice he doesn't just say, it's not going to rain. Have you ever noticed this? Pretty interesting. There won't even be dew on the grass. When you get up in the morning, there's not even going to be dew on the grass, king. I mean, talk about a supernatural manifestation. It literally is, he's being given the faith to see a miracle happen. And it's amazing what happens. See, God can give you peace in the midst of a storm. How many of you have ever experienced that? You can be in the worst crisis possible, and there's a supernatural impartation of peace. You might be in the storm like those disciples were on that ship with Jesus, and all of a sudden, instead of seeing the storm, you see the one who's on the boat with you. And now the storm doesn't look so bad, and there's a supernatural impartation of peace that comes upon you. Let me tell you another story of a gift of faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys in the Old Testament? Literally just about to be thrown into a fiery furnace that's so incredibly hot, the guards are dying just approaching the fire. And they say to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know what? Our God will deliver us. That's a gift of faith right there. And then they say, and even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. Listen, those are some powerful words. That's a confession of faith. And let me tell you where their faith was. Their faith wasn't in something. Their faith was in someone. Because they knew whether they went into the fiery furnace or not, God would take care of them. That's this wonderful gift of faith that comes. 1 Kings 18:1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, now go present yourself to Ahab, and I'll send rain on the earth. 3.5 years have gone by, and now Elijah goes back. And now Elijah, listen, when he comes in front of the king's listening, because there hasn't been rain on the face of the earth for 3.5 years, not even dew. And you know what? It's interesting. Faith accompanies God's word. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. And then down in verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of the abundance of rain. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but 7 different times Elijah sends a servant to look and see if the clouds are forming on the horizon. 7 different times. How many of you think some of you just might have gotten a little discouraged along the way if it didn't happen right away? Sometimes our faith is just so weak. And we need God to impart an extra measure of faith so we stand and we believe and we see God move and work in a situation. So how do you prepare to move in the gifts of God? Let me tell you, it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. So much of our walk with God starts, I believe, the best place is early in the morning, alone in His presence, listening for His voice, quieting your heart, opening His word, worshiping Him with all of your heart, and letting Him speak to you and fill you with fresh manna for that day ahead. That's how you prepare to see the gifts of God. That's where you learn to recognize the very voice of God. Well, let's look at 2 more real quick. Gifts of healing. Gifts of healing is a supernatural endowment of divine health. How many of you realize there was no sickness before sin entered the earth? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before sin came in, there was no sickness. But we know the sad part of the story. The first Adam lost divine health through his disobedience. But here's the good part of the story. The second Adam, in the book of Romans, Jesus is described as the second Adam. He restores what was lost by the first Adam. He restores divine health. Listen, I'm not going to spend a long time on this one today, but I tell you what, we've been seeing around here, Jesus restore divine health. Suzanne had a testimony she shared just a month or two ago. My friend Ray had an incredible testimony of God's healing. My friend Dawn just shared one a week or so ago. Jesus is still in the healing business because you know what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you give the Lord praise for that? Listen, you don't serve a God who's no longer acting on this earth. You serve a God who is absolutely active on this earth, but He's activated through people who have faith, through people who are people of prayer, earnest prayer. Last is the working of miracles. Miracles are divine intervention that alters our natural circumstance. Can I tell you, God does miracles every day? Amen. The sad part is most of the time we don't even recognize them. Do you know it's a miracle right now that the earth is revolving and moving and that it's got its exact place in this universe? That's a miracle right now that you don't even recognize. This last week, I was out of town for a day or two, and I just got in bed and was just about ready to doze off into a wonderful, wonderful night of sleep when my wife called me and said, honey, get up. Get out of bed. I'm like, what? What, honey? There's a meteor shower outside. You got to go see it. I'm like, do I really? Do I really have to go see the meteor shower, honey? So I slink out of bed. I mean, I'm so tired. And I think I drove all day long to get to where I was at just for a day or so. And, slip on my shorts. I walk out in this parking lot. I'm wandering around. I am just, somebody saw me. They probably thought I was drunk. I'm just barely awake. I can't see anything. I see things twinkling in the sky, but I don't think it was a meteor shower. But it's funny because there's miracles all around us. The fact that you are breathing right now is a miracle. The fact that God created you in such a way that if you get a cut or a wound, your body has the natural healing capacity within it to see that wound healed. There's just so many things that are miracles that happen around us all the time. I know that many of you are experiencing miracles every day. You know how I know that? Because I've seen the way some of you drive. And you're keeping your angels really busy. I mean, when God doles out those angelic assignments, some of those angels are going, no, please don't put me with him again today. It's going to be a crazy day just trying to keep that guy safe. I mean, you're wearing those guys out. Give them a little break, okay? We had dinner with our daughter Hannah this last week, and at some point in the time together, Hannah announces to us she'd been in a pretty severe wreck just a day or two earlier. We didn't know about it. The interesting thing was, I say severe, it could have been severe. It was the kind of scenario where, quite honestly, they were merging onto the highway, and the guy in front of her was a meth addict. And he spun out on the highway. His truck is literally spinning out of control, and it clips the front end of their truck. And it damaged their truck pretty well, but guess what? They didn't even have a scratch. You know what? Mom and Dad are praying for that girl. Amen? And angels are assigned over her. And I'm telling you what, there are miracles. There are divine interventions that happen every day. Acts chapter 12 is a really cool one. I love this story. I'm not going to read it all, but let me just rehearse it to you real quick. This is early church stuff, and God is moving and working in amazing ways, and the church is praying and seeking the Lord, and Peter gets thrown into prison by Herod. And Herod has every plan to put Peter to death, but God has another plan. Amen? You might have circumstances around you that look daunting. God has another plan, folks. You might be in the midst of a really challenging season. God has another plan. Don't give up on that. Be a person of prayer. Let the Lord do what he wants to do in the midst of your situation or circumstance. In Acts 12, Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Guess what happens? Peter's asleep in the middle of the prison. He's going to be executed the next day. How many of you think he had the peace of God upon him? He's getting a good night's sleep, even when supposedly he's going to be executed the next day. He gets tapped on the side. It's an angel coming to deliver him. He's kind of like me getting up in the middle of the night the other night. He doesn't quite even know what's going on. And the angel takes him, leads him through the gates, leads him out of the prison. It's not until the whole thing's over that he finally realizes that was an angel. And then he goes to the prayer meeting, and this is a lot like the church today, amen? We're praying, 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 believing God to do something, and then Peter shows up going, hey, it's Peter, and they're like, it can't be. It can't be Peter. He's in prison. We've been praying for him to be released, but Peter, is that really you? I mean, boy, talk about people of incredible faith, aren't we? The answer to our prayer is standing at the door, and we won't even let him in. There's persecution abounding. If he doesn't get in, he's probably going to be taken back to prison. Finally, they open the door and they let him in. It's a miracle. God wants to multiply, listen, the ministry of Jesus through your life. This isn't something weird. This isn't something reserved for the special or the elite or, people who are just wired differently. This is something for every one of us, each one. The Holy Spirit wants to distribute gifts so you can be Jesus wherever you go. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's transition real quick. I want to talk just for a moment about baptism. Okay, and then we're getting ready to baptize. You'll notice my shirt, I have decided. I usually don't wear a t-shirt on Sunday mornings, but today I get to, and I love it. Acts 2:41, this is early church stuff. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. Listen, first step of obedience is to publicly declare through the act of baptism your faith in Christ. First thing this morning, I've decided to follow the example set by Christ. Do you know at the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus himself, first thing he did was be baptized. First thing he did was be baptized. I'm going to have the worship team come on back up and find their places. Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul was baptized. You know, literally, the ministry of Jesus doesn't start until that moment. And it's such a special moment. I don't know if you remember it or not, but literally the Father just gives this incredible affirmation to the Son right there on the spot as he's being baptized. John the Baptist doesn't want to do it. He's like, no, you should be baptizing me. But Jesus is like, no, this is God's will for me. And as he's being baptized, he hears the voice of God. Everybody around hears it. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Let me tell you, everyone who comes and is baptized today, I believe they're going to hear that same voice of the Father affirming them today. This is my Son. This is my daughter in whom I'm really, really, really pleased. Wow, isn't that powerful? Number two, I have decided to demonstrate my changed life. That's what baptism is all about. It's a public demonstration of the change that happens in our lives. I was telling our baptismal candidates today, I said, you know, if you've ever seen a caterpillar go through that metamorphosis, and normally these aren't the prettiest caterpillars out there, they end up, it looks like they die, and they go into this thing called a chrysalis, and they weave this thing around themselves, it's like a cocoon. And I understand that inside that cocoon, they literally, the body of that caterpillar literally dissolves. It falls apart. And then at some point, inside that chrysalis, that cocoon, this new life is formed and it begins to break out of that cocoon. They tell me, by the way, they've done experiments that if you help that beautiful butterfly out, it'll be crippled because it needs to fight out of that to strengthen its wings to be able to fly. This is so important today. We need to testify publicly of the change that Jesus has made in our lives. Amen? It makes us stronger. It makes us stronger so we can stand up and have a testimony to the world around us. And then that butterfly comes out and it's so beautiful. This week I was walking past this really pretty garden and there was a beautiful waterfall. And I sat down for a moment just to kind of meditate and pray. And as I'm sitting there in the beautiful sunshine, all of a sudden this big butterfly, about that big, flutters by, lands on a plant that's just feeding on this plant. I'm just taking it in. I'm like, oh God, that's awesome. You sent a butterfly my way. There's something, the Lord's just romancing me here in this moment. It's just so cool. How many of you ever realized that sometimes God just sends special little things across your path just to remind you of how much he loves you? And I'm watching that butterfly take a couple of pictures, and I'm very thankful to the Lord. Next day, I come and I'm walking past this little garden again, and the thought occurs to me, I think I'm going to go back and see if I can find my butterfly. And I think to myself, that'd really be cool. That'd really be God if I found him again today. So I go and I sit down. It's sunny, it's nice, and I'm kind of meditating and praying. But I can't see the butterfly anywhere. He's nowhere to be found. And I'm just sitting there praying, and all of a sudden, I don't know where he came from. He might have came out of my back pocket. All of a sudden, this butterfly flies by, and he like does these circles right in front of my face. I thought he's literally going to land on my nose. And I'm blown away. I'm like, Lord, you are so cool. Thank you for that. Then he lights on a plant right in front of me, and just he's feeding again, and I'm like, God, you're so good. But this is a declaration of a new life in Christ. A new life, a new creation. And then number three, I've decided to declare my commitment publicly that the whole world might know I'm a follower of Christ. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Would you stand with me, give the Lord praise, and let's worship together. And candidates, get ready. In just a moment, we're going to baptize, and it's going to be a celebration. Amen.
Power. break every chain.
Amen. Can you give the worship team a great hand? Aren't they wonderful? What a blessing. You may be seated. How many of you ready?